chapter number 91, Psalms chapter number 91. And if you're in Psalms 91, stand with us and we'll read this chapter together and pray. And then I'll give you three quick thoughts that the Lord has given to me this morning. Psalms chapter number 91 and verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth not at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made thee Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High my habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be unto him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, I love you this morning and I'm thankful for the good opportunity to be here in the house of God. And I'm glad for the chance to preach. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help me to be able to deliver these people just exactly, God, what you gave me, the way you gave it to me. Lord, I pray that you'd move in our presence today. Lord, I believe I've already felt you this morning, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm glad for the good visitation of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you'd move even now. Move in this message, move in these thoughts, move in these words. Help somebody today through the preaching of the Word of God, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. While all of the Word of God is good, I believe that the 91st Psalm is an extra special portion of Scripture. As I began to study and read this 91st Psalm this week, I began to think this Psalm is wonderful for different reasons. I believe this is a wonderful song. When you compare it to the psalm that is just before it. You see, the 90th psalm is a psalm of death. The psalm writer says in Psalms 90, verse 5, "Thou carriest them away with a flood. They shall be as asleep. In the morning they shall be like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered." You see, it is a psalm of death, Psalms chapter number 90. But Psalms chapter number 91 in comparison is a psalm of light and it's a psalm of life. He said in verse 16, "With long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation." You see, it is a good psalm because it's a psalm of life. I think this is a wonderful song in comparison because the 90th psalm is a psalm of the first man, Adam. It is a psalm of death and sin and corruption and all that come through the fall of Adam. You see, he said in verse 9 of chapter 90, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Verse 11, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." But you see, the 91st psalm is a messianic psalm. It is a psalm about the second man, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. And all that the first Adam lost in chapter 90, in chapter 91, the second Adam gained back.
You see, he was exalted in chapter 91, verse 14. He was set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the great God. I believe that Psalms chapter number 91 is such a powerful psalm that even Satan himself has Psalms chapter number 91 memorized. That's how powerful it is. You see, in Matthew chapter number 4, when Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation, you find Satan quoting from Psalms chapter number 91. That's how powerful this psalm is. But while this entire psalm is extra special, I want us to consider, and we will consider all of it, but I want to draw your attention this morning to the very first verse. I want you to see the man or the woman in verse number 1 and notice the way that they are described to us. The man or the woman in verse 91, chapter 91, verse 1, is described to us as being in the hidden place, as being in the shadow of the Lord. You see, this man in verse 1, he is a covered man. He is a secret man, if you'll allow me to say it that way. He is a sheltered man, if you'll allow me to say that. He's a covered man. He's a secret man, but I want to think of him this way. He's a sheltered man. As I begin to think of Psalms chapter number 91, I begin to think on this thought, living a sheltered lifestyle. Living a sheltered lifestyle. You see, in verse 1, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." This man in verse 1 is living a sheltered kind of lifestyle. I believe that the man or the woman that lives a sheltered lifestyle today is somebody that we think of or the world thinks of as being somewhat ignorant or somewhat lowly or somewhat inferior because of the life that we live. You see, the world looks at us as being crazy because the sheltered lifestyle that we live. They look at us and they mock us and they call us sheltered because we don't allow our children to do everything that the world's children do. They say we're sheltered. They criticize us and say that we're sheltered because we don't agree with their sin and their lifestyle. We don't condone the things that we're doing, and they say that we're sheltered. Hey, they say that we're sheltered, and they view us as being pitiful as we pull out of our driveway every Sunday morning and head down to the house of God when they at the same time are pulling out of their driveway with their boat headed down to the lake. And they look at us and they make fun of us and they mock us and they say they're sheltered. They live a sheltered lifestyle. But can I say this morning, in the world, in the eyes of the world, I may be sheltered and they may condemn me for that. They may think that it's a bad thing. Can I say that I believe that it is a blessing this morning to live a sheltered lifestyle? I believe that it's a blessing to live under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty God. I believe that it's a blessing to be sheltered, to raise our kids sheltered, to shelter ourselves from some things. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, I'm glad for this sheltered lifestyle that I live this morning. I want to preach for a few minutes on the thought, living a sheltered life. Living a sheltered life. I want to show you three things out of chapter 91, three lifestyles that make up or that are the sheltered life. Let me show them to you quickly. I want you to see, number one, that the sheltered life is a hidden life. The sheltered life is a hidden life. In the first four verses, the writer describes for us the sheltered life as someone being hidden. He is said to be under the shadow of the Almighty in verse number 1. He is said to be in the fortress, verse number 2. He is said to be under the feathers of his wing. You see, this is a picture of a man or a woman who has separated themselves from the pack. They have stepped away from the common. They have stepped away from the ordinary. And I believe they've even stepped away from the normal average Christian life. They have entered into a lifestyle that most people know nothing about. They are living a hidden type of lifestyle. Now, let me say this before I move on, just to help clear something up. Just because you are saved, that does not mean that you're living this hidden type of lifestyle. You see, just because you're saved does not mean that you're dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. In the Old Testament, we find that God considered the nation of Israel His chosen people. They were the people of God of the Old Testament. They were in fact called the wife of God in the pages of the Old Testament. Hey, the Jew were God's people, and Jerusalem was God's holy city. Yet we read in the New Testament that Jesus stood outside the streets of Jerusalem, that holy people of God and that holy city of God. And Jesus, with tears dripping off of His cheeks, said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen doeth her brood, but you would not let me." You see, they were God's people living in God's city, but they were not dwelling in the secret place, in the sheltered place, in the hidden place that I'm talking about this morning. Hey, I believe that the man or the woman who is living this hidden lifestyle is described to us in the very first psalm. David said in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You see, the person living the hidden lifestyle is not your average Christian. The person living the hidden lifestyle, they are the Christian that has departed from the wickedness of this world. You see, sin no longer holds a glitter in their eyes. They've left all of that behind. Instead, they look at sin as something being contrary to the way of God, contrary to the Word of God. You see, God's Word consumes them. They meditate on it day and night. It holds a special place in their life. They are consumed with God and consumed with God's Word, consumed with God's way. Can I say to you this morning that I believe the very most important part of the Christian life is the hidden part of the Christian life?
True. Amen.
Let me slow down right here to say something. There are a lot of people that come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and in the public eye, in the life of the world, in the eye of the world, they believe that they are a wonderful Christian. They've got it all figured out. Yeah. They're in fellowship and in tune with God. But can I say to you that there are people that come to church every time the doors are open. They come every time we're here, but they are not in fellowship with God. They are not in tune with God. They know nothing about this hidden lifestyle that I'm telling you about. Oh, but there are a few. There are just a few that have stepped away from the average, and they've stepped away from the normal, and they have experienced God in a way that most will never experience God. They know something about being in that sheltered place, in that hidden place, in that near place to God.
That's right.
Hey, I'm telling you, friend, there's a hidden place next to God. I want to show you two things about this hidden place. I want you to notice, first of all, that this hidden lifestyle, this hidden life, it is a sheltered or a shadowed place. Let me say it that way. It is a shadowed place. Look at verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now follow this with me, if you will, please. This shadowed place is a place of communion, and it is a place of worship. Now, we do not know for sure who wrote the 91st Psalm, but most believe that it was Moses that wrote Psalms chapter number 91. We know that Moses wrote the 90th Psalm, and typically speaking, when you do not know who wrote a psalm, you attribute it to the writer who wrote the psalm just previous to that. Moses wrote Psalms chapter 90, so it makes sense that he also wrote Psalms chapter number 91. And I believe Moses knew something about this shadowed place. You see, the picture in verse number 1 is the picture of the cherubim that was in the most holy place in Israel. You see, the Bible says that in that most holy place, that there were two cherubims, and these cherubims had great wings that would come up over their head, and they would come up over the mercy seat, and they would meet each other just above the mercy seat. These great wings would encompass it, enclose it. But then the Bible says that on that mercy seat is where God promised that His presence would dwell.
Amen.
Now watch this with me. Imagine this, if you will. Hey, I can see that priest as he steps away from the crowd. Most priests never got to experience this, but one priest did every once in a while. And he would walk away from those other priests. And the Bible said he would walk in behind that veil that separated the average from the holy life. And he would walk in there where those cherubims were. And I can see him as he enters that holy place. And he's got that bowl full of blood in his hands. And he's going to make an atonement. And the Bible says, Brother Scott, as I can picture this in my mind, he begins to walk up toward where that mercy seat is. And there's a little bit of light coming in that tabernacle. But when he gets real close, when he gets real close to that mercy seat, hey, those wings that cover it, they're casting a shadow down upon it. And I can see him as he walks up real close, and he gets close to that mercy seat. And all of a sudden, a little bit of light that's in that room begins to extinguish. He's now in a shadow. He's in the shadow of the wing of that cherubim. He's in the shadow of that most holy place.
Amen.
Hey, I can picture him as he's got that blood and he walks into that shadowy place. He realizes that the closer he gets to that shadow, the closer he's getting to the mercy seat. And then he experiences something. He realizes something, that inside of that shadowy place, he's not alone. There's a presence just above that mercy seat. It's the presence of God.
That's
He's not in that shadow by himself. There's somebody in there with him. Can I say that every once in a while, God has taken me to that place where I felt like he was there with me. Well, I like to say that every time I prayed, he was there. Every time I've been to church, he was there.
Amen.
Brother Scott, there's been a few times. There's been one or two times that I've walked into that shadow place.
Yeah.
I've walked under that wing of the Almighty,
yeah,
and I felt him there close to me,
yeah,
felt him there near me. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a place under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a good place.
Amen.
It's a great place. It's a sheltered place. Hey, it's a place where God is. Hey, I'm glad for this hidden lifestyle.
Amen.
Hey, there's a place under that shadow, under the wing of that cherubim. Not only is it a place that's a shadowed place, but watch this with me, please. It is not only a shadowed place, but it's a surrounded place. He said in verse 4, he said, "He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler." You see, as the priest, I believe, as he stands in that shadow, and as he walks closer and closer to that mercy seat, that priest eventually realizes that not only is he just under that shadow, but he is completely surrounded by that shadow. That shadow has engulfed him when he gets up to the mercy seat. But I want you to notice the language of this verse. This verse tells us that the man who is living this hidden lifestyle, he is covered by the feathers, he is under the wings, and he is enclosed by the shield. In fact, I like this, verse 4, that word shield. Most of the time when we think about a shield, we think about a small, round, or rectangular shield that somebody holds on their arms. But that's not the shield the Bible's talking about. In fact, the word shield in verse 4 means to be completely encircled with, or to be completely encircled by. This speaks of a shield or a mound of earth that would completely encircle or go all the way around a fortress. Hey, I'm telling you, good neighbor, that shadowed place, that hidden place, that sheltered place, hey, it's not just in front of us. But what we'll realize if we ever get to that is that God is all the way around us. Everywhere we go, He's there. Everywhere we turn, He's there. Everywhere we look, He's there. Hey, the psalmist David knew something about the secret place. And he said, "Where shall I go from thy Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, if I go up on the mountain, you are there. If I'm down in the valley, you're there. He said, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. He said, if I were to go in the depths of hell, thou would be there. He said, everywhere I go, God is surrounding me. Amen. And can I say that there's a place in Jesus Christ that you can get to that He completely surrounds your life.
Amen.
You see, I think God should be more than something we just do on Sunday. It should be our life.
Yes.
He should be your life. Every day of your life, you ought to live like it's Sunday.
Amen.
Well, I thought about Moses. Moses, for a long period of time, prayed, God, I want you to show me your glory. Show me your glory, God. And one day God took Moses up on top of the mountain. And the Bible says He hid him in the cleft of the rock. I can see Moses as he stands in that rock enclosure. And he begins to look around and he's completely surrounded by that rock enclosure. God put him in a surrounded place. And then I don't know, this is just in my mind, but I can see Moses as he stands there and he waits in that surrounded place. And all of a sudden a great big shadow falls over the sky.
Yeah.
A great big shadow passes over that place where he's hidden. And Moses peeks out and views just a little bit of the glory of God.
Amen.
Hey, I'm telling you that this sheltered lifestyle that we're living, this sheltered lifestyle, hey, it's a hidden place.
Amen.
God can hide us in the cleft of the rock and let us experience His goodness. I want you to see this. Not only is it a hidden life, this sheltered life, not only is it a hidden life, but I want you to see, number two, that it's a protected life. This sheltered life is a protected life. Beginning in verse 5 down through verse 13, we learn that the person who is sheltered in verse 1 is also protected in verse number 5. You see, Moses tells us that the man or the woman that lives a sheltered lifestyle is safe when others are in danger. In fact, he begins to describe the danger that awaits us every day of our life. I want you to see that. Notice the danger in verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, nor the arrow that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walk in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. You see, Moses describes for us the danger that is waiting on us. He describes the terror by night, or literally speaking, the fear of the dark, or the fear of what can happen in the dark. You see, in this day, Moses' day, Bible days, it was just as dangerous, maybe more dangerous, to travel at night than it is to travel in our day by night. A man in the east would not travel by night by himself. It was too dangerous. Moses talks about the danger of the fowler that tries to catch us, but his arrows do not hit. He talks about the lion and the adder, or the serpent, that come upon our path as we're traveling this narrow road. Hey, and all of these are pictures of the adversary that is out to get us. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, the narrow path that you and I are walking on is a dangerous path. The enemy is dangerous. Life is dangerous. Therefore, the best thing that you and I can do is get just as close to God as we can and allow Him to shelter us from the danger that is lying wait in this world.
Amen.
I see the danger of this protected life, but I also see the deliverance. Look at verse 12. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. He says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come upon thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see, there's danger all around us, but there's a place in Jesus Christ that is a sheltering place, that is a protecting place. It is a place where the fowler may shoot his darts at us, but he will always miss. It is a place where no plague will come upon our dwelling. There's a place where no evil shall befall us. There's a safe place, and that safe place is in the shadowed place. It is in the surrounded place. It is in the sheltered place of the Most High God. You see, you see the man that practices the surrounded life and practices the sheltered life is a man who's never alone. You see, if I'm standing in your shadow, that means I've got to be pretty close to you.
Amen, that's right.
And if I'm in the shadow of the Almighty, it means that I'm not by myself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You say, oh, Brother Josh, are you telling me that if I get saved, nothing bad will ever happen to me? No, that's not what I'm saying. Hey, there'll be things happen every once in a while. But if you're dwelling in that sheltered place and that protected place, and when those things come into your life, you can say along with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Boy, Moses knew something about this protected life. I can see Moses as he stands outside of his house the very first Passover. And as the cry goes out through the land of Egypt, as mamas wake up to dead babies and daddies wake up to dead sons. Hey, there's death all over the land of Egypt. People are weeping and wailing and crying, and their lives have fell apart. There's death everywhere. But Moses looks around, and the Hebrew children are all still alive. His children are still living. Their children are, you know why? Because they were living in a protected place.
Amen. That's right.
I can see Moses as he crosses over the Red Sea, and they turn around and look behind them and watch as the waters encompass Pharaoh's army. They realize that they were just moments from death, just moments from destruction. But they watch that water encompass that army, and they stand on the other side of the Red Sea as those dead bodies begin to wash up to shore, and they sing the song of redemption. They sing the song of deliverance. Because God had protected them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, this world can laugh at me for living a sheltered lifestyle. But while this world is falling apart, and homes are falling apart, and marriages are falling apart, and children are leaving home and living like the devil and going off to the world, I think I'll live in that protected place, in that sheltered place. I think I'll take that sheltered place any day of the week. Hey, it's a hidden life. It's a protected life. But let me say this, I'm finished. It's a satisfied life.
Amen.
As the psalmist comes to a close, we read how the man who is hidden in the Almighty's shadow and protected by the Lord's goodness is satisfied by God's blessings. You see, in the last few verses, God begins to speak. God tells us what He'll do in verse 14 down for the man or the woman who live this sheltered lifestyle. He says, first of all, He'll satisfy us by giving us His love. He said in verse 14, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. You see, the man who dwells in the shelter of the Lord will also be the man who loves the Lord. He will fall in love with God because God has showed him His love over and over and over again.
Amen.
Hey, I believe God shows us His love. And the closer we get to Him, the more love He bestows. And the closer we get, the more love we experience. And you know what happens? The more He loves on us, the more we start loving back on Him. The Bible says we love Him
Because He first loved us.
Amen.
Watch this. This word love in verse 14 isn't your average love. This love in verse 14, the word love means to cleave to. It means to cling to. It means to be passionate about is what it means. Let me show you what this word means. I can see Naomi as she stands there with Ruth and Orpah, her two daughter-in-laws. And she says, girls, go on back to Moab. There's nothing waiting on you in Bethlehem, Judah, but I've got to go back. Go on back. And the Bible says that Orpah kissed her.
Yeah.
She loved her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
She loved Naomi. The Bible says that Orpah kissed her and turned around and went back to Moab. But old Ruth had a different kind of love.
Yeah.
The Bible says Ruth clave unto Naomi.
Amen.
She grabbed her, hung on to her, and said, Naomi, where you dwell, I'm going to dwell. Where you die, I'm going to die. Your people are going to be my people. I'm going back with you, Naomi. I'm casting my lot with you, Naomi. I love you, Naomi.
Amen.
Oh, and there's some people, I think they love God. I really do. I think they love God. But there's some people that are in love with God.
Amen.
Hey, He gives them life. He gives them love, but second of all, He gives them life.
Look at this, verse 15. And He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will give with him, and I will be with him in trouble, and will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
You see, in response to the love that God promises, He also promises salvation and life. You see, God promises life. To the Jewish people, a long life was one of the greatest blessings that you could have. To the Jews, to be able to see your children and your grandchildren and even your great-grandchildren was one of the greatest blessings. They all wanted to be like Abraham, who was said to be full of days, full of life. Can I say that the person that dwells in this sheltered place is the person that God gives life to?
That's right.
Now, I believe that there's been some people that have not lived this sheltered life, and it's cost them their life.
Amen.
There have been some people that have stepped outside the will of God, and it's cost them their life. They waste their lives on things that they put inside of their body. They waste their life because of stress. They shorten their life. Hey, I believe there's some people that have filled an early grave because they wouldn't live where God wanted them to live. But there's a glorious land. There's a glorious life that God has promised each one of us. And it's ours for the taking. But we've got to live this sheltered life.
Amen.
To get it. Moses stepped outside of the sheltered life when he smote the rock the second time. And I can see God take Moses up on top of the mountain, and He shows him the promised land, the land of milk and honey.
Yeah.
And He says, Moses, that's the life you could have had.
Right.
Had you kept living that sheltered lifestyle. And I don't know about you this morning. They can call me sheltered if they want to. I'll take that shadowed place any day.
Yeah.
I'll take that secret place. Hey, I'll take that hidden place. That protected place. Because it's a satisfying place. A place of love and life. And the shelter of the Almighty.
As I was thinking about preaching this message, I asked my wife if she would sing a song at the end of the message, her and the kids. I want them to come up here and sing this song, and this will be our invitation. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart, could I encourage you to come? Hey, maybe there's somebody here and you thought to yourself, I'd like to experience that lifestyle that He's talking about. I'd like to experience that sheltered life. I'd like to experience that shadowed place. Hey, that shadow place is available to you. That sheltered lifestyle, it's available to you. You just got to be serious with God. God will hide you in the wing of His shadow. While they sing, if you need to come, you come.